Okay, so just a brief recap on the previous sugya, which was not difficult, but it was complicated. Rome's okay?
Yeah. There's families in.
So we saw a sugya, basically, if you remember, it all began with the story of Ravina and Ma'abe Rav Ashi. Ma'abe Rav Ashi was seen eating the peel and throwing out the fruit of Orlo. Specifically, the avyoinos, the fruit he threw out, whereas the peels he ate. So the Gemara immediately arrived at the conclusion he must hold that the fruit is a fruit, and the peel is not a fruit, as simple as that, and that's following Rabbi Kiva's opinion with regards to maestras, because Rabbi Kiva said the same with regard to maestra, that the fruit needs to be taken maestra from, the peel does not. And that clearly indicates to us that the peel is not classified as a fruit. Fine, that was stage one. Stage two, at the top of the Gemara in Lamed Vav on the base, the Gemara says, I don't understand. Even if you hold like Rabbi Kiva with regard to maestra, but that doesn't help me much with regard to Orla. Because in Orla we have a new halacha called Shomer, which we learn from a pasuk, and we learn from a pasuk the halacha l'chayr should be that inasmuch as the fruit has the halachic status of the fruit, so the peel also is considered a fruit. And therefore, if Hilchas Orla applied to the Avyoinos, then Hilchas Orla should apply equally to the Kafrisim, to the peel. And that was stage two, so we're in trouble. Stage three, we try to launch a definition of Shomer that would somehow help us exclude Kafrisim. What was definition number one that Rava suggested? Definition number one was, a Shomer is only considered a Shomer if indeed it is still around when the pre is detached from the tree, i.e. when it's Tolush, and in the case of Evyeinos and Kafrisim, it's not. So therefore, it's not a Shomer. Everything is great. The Gemara disproved that. In stage four, in the case of the Rimoin and the Nate, so we found another example of a peel which is also dispensed with once the fruit is detached from the tree, and nonetheless it is considered a shamus. Therefore that definition doesn't work. In which case, we're back in trouble. Why is the Kafrisin not considered a shamus? So we then tried the next definition. What was the next definition? That it doesn't so much depend on whether it's there, Tolosh or Mukhuba, but rather it depends on was it there at the time of Gemar Pri. If when the Pri becomes Gemar, when the Pri becomes ripe, the Shomer, the peel has gone, well then it's not much of a Shomer. Why? For the simple reason, because a fruit isn't yet considered a fruit. So how can you say that you're a Shomer to a Pri? You're not. You're a Shomer to a will be in the future Pri, but not yet at the moment. In which case everything is great, because the Kafrisin, when do they fall off? Not only do they fall off prior to the fruit becoming Tolush, they actually fall off even before the Gemara Pri. So everything is great. That was also disproved, because you remember we brought the Machoikas, Rav Yossi, and Rabbanon, etc., etc., etc. But it turns out from the whole Smodar and Boisa situation that actually it's not true. It's considered a fruit even before the Gemara Pri, and therefore it should be a Shomer, and we're back in trouble again. So finally the Gemara hit the final stage, and the Gemara said, okay, this is Rava's third and final attempt at what's the definition of a Shomer, and the answer is, whenever you remove the peel and the fruit dies, that's considered a Shomer. It's a real protection, it's indispensable, and the biggest proof is when you take it away, the whole fruit suffers. In the case of Avyoinos and Kafrisin, that's exactly what happens. When you remove the Kafrisin, what happens to the Avyoinos? The Avyoinos die. And in fact, the Gemara brought a story to back that up. The Gemara says, in fact, there was a case of Avyoinos where the Kafrisin were removed. And what happened to the fruit? The fruit died. Therefore, that itself is the greatest proof that what? That that's a classic. sorry, not in the case of the Yoinis. There was another fruit.
Slaf had lived.
Right. There was another fruit where the fruit died. In the case of Slaf of Yoinis, the fruit still lived. So what does that show me? Show me it's not a shema at all. We can live quite happily without it. It's not necessary for the chiyus of this fruit, and that's why it's simply not considered to be a shema. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva is in good shape. Excuse me, Rabbi Ashi is in good shape. He followed the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that the fruit is not the fruit is a fruit. The peel is not considered a fruit. What do you worry that it's considered a shema? No, it's not considered a shema. Why? Because the fruit can manage just fine even without the peel. And that was the end of the story. That was the end of the story. Okay, let's move on. We're missing out the round parenthesis. You probably spotted that whatever's written in the round parenthesis was pretty much Tosfos that we saw last time. Okay, let's have a look. Pilpali, we're going after the round parenthesis. We're on the second last narrow line of the Gemara. Pilpali. What's Pilpali?
Pepper verse.
Pepper, but not as in the vegetable of pepper, rather the spiced pepper, right. Yeah. What's it called? Peppercorn?
Peppercorn. Yeah.
Right. Pilpili, Rav Sheshes Omar Shahakol. Rav Omar Loiklum. Now, what does that mean, Loiklum? What does that mean, Loiklum?
You don't say a bracha.
No. You don't make a bracha. So that immediately indicates to us if you don't make a bracha, obviously.
Oh, it's not a food.
It's not food. It's not considered. You can eat it. You can also eat a table if you like, but you don't make a bracha. Whenever we say you don't make a bracha, there could be l'chayra one of two reasons why you wouldn't make a bracha. Or one of a number of reasons, actually. The main reason, if you eat a food on its own, by itself, and you don't make a bracha, there can only be one reason, and that is, it's simply not a food. But we do have plenty of other circumstances where you eat a food and you don't make a bracha. Ikkar and tafel, or if it's in a bread-based meal, that's for similar reasons. But again, if I'm eating a food with nothing else, it's not part of a meal, it's not an ikkar, it's not a tafel, it's nothing, just eating it by itself, and I'm nonetheless told that I don't make a bracha, then the only reason for that is no, because simply not a food. I'm not saying there are no other exceptions, but this is the main one.
What exactly is not a food? You say it's not eaten as a regular, like on its own.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. It's not a food on its own, right? That's what I say. It's not a food. Pilpili, obviously, is a food, otherwise it wouldn't be discussed. There's no Gemara that says if you eat a table, you should know you don't make a broth. It's obvious. Pilpili, like you said, is eaten, but not on its own. Not on its own. So we had earlier mentioned in the Gemara, melach, and these types of things. But our components, we have machlokes, two opinions. Rav Sheshes says that you say shehakol, but Rava says loiklum. Now again, because in this perek we have a little bit more eye to halacha, if I see a little ois test next to the words loiklum, so I look in the margin at the sides where it says lamad base, and you see over here there's a test, and it sends you to the Rambam, and it sends you to the Shulchan Aruch. So I know clearly, even without looking up the halacha, which really you should do, but this is obviously the halacha. So if you decide to have a pilpili party, you would not make a bracha, even though it's a subject to machlaikas, but we pass and there is no bracha. Fine. So what's the question? Says the Gemara, at the moment we understand, va'ozda rava leta'ame. What does that mean, va'ozda rava leta'ame? Rava is following his own reason. In other words, this fits in very well with something that we have learned elsewhere in the name of Rava himself. And what is that? To Omar Rava, Rava once told us, cast. What does cast mean? Rashi says, whenever you chew, or Rashi says, you eat it in not the ordinary way, cast pilpili b'yoymi de kipuri. If I eat pilpili on Yom Kippurim, then what's the halacha? Potter.
What's a different chorus.
Why is it potter? It must
be. He didn't eat.
I didn't eat. So too, Zangvila. Zangvila I'm not sure the exact translation, maybe ginger.
Yeah,
is it? Ginger? Ginger, right. Spice. Sorry? That's our ginger. Ginger. So ginger obviously is also is obviously also a food that can be eaten as a spice, but not on its own. Therefore, so too, if you eat it on Yom Kippur, v'yema de kippuri, potter. So, why is that considered rava l'ta'ame?
Is he saying it's not a food?
It's very good, it fits in perfectly. Rava told us, you know, chayav koros in Yom Kippur for eating it, clearly it's not considered a food. That fits very well with what Rava himself told us. You don't make a brach on it, says Rashi. Kas pilpili, kol dovo. Every item shadom oichol shalei kadarkoi, if you eat it not in the ordinary way, which is what we're talking about there, mikri kistisa. Potur mikoris. Fine. Now, so far, Robert does make sense. But where do we run into problems? Meisvei, we have the following question. If you remember, this was a Gemara that we once learned together in Sukkah. Hoyo Reb Meir Oima. Reb Meir told us the following. Mimash Mashenemar. The indication of the following pasuk. Va'araltem Orolosoi Espirioi, quote unquote, which we mentioned at the top of the page. The Torah says, Va'orlartem Orolosoi Espirioi. You should take Orla from its fruit. What does that mean, from its fruit? What's its mean? If I say from its fruit, what does its mean? The tree that's producing the fruit. So mi mash mashenema v'orlosam orla is orlosay is periyoi. Eini yoidea she'et Michael who? Don't I know that clearly I'm talking about an eighth Michael? What does that mean, an eighth Michael? A tree which is producing fruits, obviously. You can hardly talk about fruit being produced from a tree that doesn't produce fruit. So the Torah says, take Orla from its fruit. What does its mean? Obviously, from the tree that produces fruit. So we obviously know we're talking about a fruit tree. Okay, what's the problem? So Elamah Talmud Loimah. So why must the Torah continue and write the following words? Eight. Ma'achol, quote unquote. From an edible tree, from a tree that gives food. Well, obviously, that's clearly indicative by the context. That's what it means. Mimash mashanema. If you talk about a tree, if you talk about a fruit, we'll put one and one together, then obviously we're talking about a... Obviously we're talking about a tree that gives fruit. So why must the pasuk then continue and say, Eitz machol, a tree that gives fruit? Obviously it gives fruit. If it doesn't give fruit, then you can't talk about fruit. So why is the Torah writing? So l'chol these words, unless there must be a drosha that we can make. What's the drosha? Lahavi, to include eight, a certain type of tree, shetam eitzoi upirioi shove. It's coming to include a tree where the eight and what's produced from the eight all taste the same. That's what it means, Eitz Ma'achol. If you translate the words Eitz Ma'achol literally, what does it mean? Eating the tree, as it says, Eitz Ma'achol. So we initially thought it means a tree that produces fruit. And that's the Gemara's question. What do you mean produces fruit? Obviously it produces fruit, we're talking about fruit. So the Gemara is saying, no, the Drasha tells you that you've got to actually translate literally, which is Eitz Ma'achol, as it were, an edible tree, i.e., a tree which actually tastes the same as the fruit produced by that very tree. And what is that? One second, what is that? Ve'ez zezo, ve'ezo hu, ze hapilpilin, lelamedcha, this comes to teach us, shapilpilin, chayovin, ba'orla. This comes to teach us that pilpilin is chayav v'orla. Remember, this pasuk is talking about orla. It says, v'orlartem, orlostoi, es pirioi. And we've got a special drosha to incorporate pilpilin as well. Why? Because pilpilin is a tree where the tree, the branches, taste exactly the same as that which is produced by the tree. What is that? Pilpilim.
Did not the pasuk specify that it was a pepper tree? Or
no.
It did not?
No.
Even before the previous pasuk?
Right. There's no hint to it other than the drosha.
Okay.
So I learned from this pasuk that pilpilim is chayev ba'orna. That means even though pilpilim is not considered a fully fledged fruit, because if it was, obviously I wouldn't need a drosha. It's not considered a fruit. But it displays the very rare property of the eight and the pre having the same taste. Now let's not make a mistake, by the way. We've already seen in this perek a number of times that the word pre doesn't necessarily mean fruit. Pre literally means, or normally translates as, what's produced. Remember, we once spoke about Shemen Zayis as being a pre of a pre. Prove to me from this morning that peiros or pre does not necessarily mean fruit, it means result. Enough, I can see your tilling marks. You must have prayed this morning. No. So if you daven this morning, you must know that the word pre or peiros doesn't necessarily mean fruit. It means result.
Oh, and the brachas.
Elu dvarim, sh'adam oichel, peiroi seihem, ba'olam hazeh, ba'kerem kayemes, la'olam haba. You eat what? The fruit? What is that? Achnasas kala, achnasas orachim, v'kochelim. What do you mean? This fruit of v'kochelim? What does that mean? That means those types of mitzvahs, because they are beinazon lechaveroi, not only is there a schar waiting for you in olam haba, there's peiros, there's results produced in this world as well. What is that? That my friend is the beneficiary of my mitzvah. Dekochaylim, or achnosas kala, achnosas orachim, vavo ha-sholem, beinazon lechaveroi, etc., etc. So you see that the word peiros or pre doesn't necessarily mean fruit. So, when our Gemara says that we have a tree where eight the pirioi shovim, what does that mean? So when we started literally translating, it means where the tree and its fruit. But one second, we're talking about pilpilim. Pilpilim isn't a fruit. The answer is, don't translate pre literally, rather, it's produce. Do we have an item where the tree and what is produced by the tree all taste the same? And the answer is yes, we do, and it's called pilpilim. And it's therefore chayev v'orla. That's what I learned from this pasuk. And what else do I learn? Also, v'lelamedcha, and also to teach you, she'ein eretz Yisrael chaseira klum. That eretz Yisrael is not lacking anything whatsoever. She'nemar, as it is written, oretz asher loy b'meiskeino is teichel bo lechem, loy techsar bo. Loy sechsar kolbo. The Torah clearly writes, I believe in Parshas Ekev, that the Aristotle is lacking nothing. And even pilpili, something as specific as that, is also contained in this country, which is an incredible thing, by the way. It has been pointed out that Aristotle indeed lacks nothing. Even in its climate, you have from the hottest to the coldest in one country. The Hermon, with the snow on it most of the year, and you have other areas which are boiling hot, and you have deserts, all types of vegetation and plants. Lo chaser klum, there's nothing lacking in Eretz Yisrael. Even pilpili, tiny little spice that's also here in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, back to our story. So what's the question? That is the end of the braisa. I've got a braisa that tells me that pilpili are chayev ba'orlo.
It must be a food.
So obviously it's a food. How can Rava tell me that what? That I don't make a bracha on it at all? And so too, if you eat it on Yom Kippur, you're not chayev kares. Why? Because you never ate a food. How can earthly suggest it's not a food when I have a mafurash apostle that tells me that it's chayev varla? And don't, by the way, make the mistake of suggesting, well, maybe indeed it's not a food. It's not a food, it's not edible. But what should I do? I have a special pasuk that teaches me you're nonetheless chayev v'orlo. That can't be the answer. Why? Because if you're chayav va'orla, if you're chayav va'orla, it must be a food. There's no such thing. The Torah never said have orla on a table, on a chair. Orla only refers to food. That's why we had a whole discussion. We spent a whole week on it trying to work out, is there vyoinos to food? Is there kapris in the food? Is it a shema? Is there alochas of the food? But ultimately, I need to get to the bottom line, which is that is a food. It might have the halachic status of a food, like a shema, even though it's not physically edible. That doesn't matter. It's got to be classified as a food. Orla isn't. Pilpili isn't. Haraya, you're saying, don't make a bracha on it. That's why I have orla.
During the first 3 years, you can use the tree for other purposes?
No.
Firewood?
Nothing. Orla is also to eat, and orla is also to benefit from.
So why can't we say here that maybe the implication is you can't do anything with the tree? Forget the food aspect.
No, but again,
you can't take this bush and burn
it as
firewood.
But even then, it's only true in the case of a food. Even then, it's only true in the case of food. All of Hilchos Orla only pertain to a food. So first I've got to define that it's a food. The minute I see that the Torah says the Hilchos Orla apply also to pilpilin, one thing is guaranteed, and that is, it's a food. In which case, how many questions do we have? Really, two. Same question, but it's two. Number one, why is there therefore no broch on it? And number two, why if you eat it on Yom Kippur, is there no chorus? You ate a food. How do I know it's a food? Simplest proof, you have an orla.
I'm sorry, to go back to the example again. If you have a tree that's orla, you have a branch, I want to take off that branch and use it for a reason.
You can't, but only if that branch is producing fruit.
If there's no fruit or produce on that branch?
No, orla. Okay. All Hilchos Orla do not apply. So I've got to produce, I've got to prove that we're dealing with a food, and then the whole tree is also to eat, to benefit, to do anything with. Say that. Show me the food over here. I have the pilpilin. Ah, it is food. Clearly so. That's why the Torah says Hilchos Orla applied. In which case we don't understand Rava. So in the beginning we thought that Rava was marvelous. Why? Because we said that Rava is the Tame. Rava follows his own reasoning when he said that if you eat on Yom Kippur, you're not chayev. Why not? It's not a food, but we have a mufurish apostolic in the Torah that seems to be indicative of the fact that it is a food, and you can't argue an apostolic in the Torah.
Can we say that the two eight mark, Russia and Israel?
We can. We can. But all said and done, if the bottom line is the orla applies to pilpilin, which the Gemara is telling us that it does, it has to be the pilpilin is a food. However which way you turn the pasuk, it's got to be that pilpilin is a food. There is absolutely no exception to that. We like rules with no exceptions. Well, this is one of them. Orla can only refer to a food. Now, we have to be careful. We had a whole daf, a whole omer talking about shema. What are you talking about? Shema is not a food. It is. Because a shema adopts the status of a food by virtue of the fact that it's a shema. So the bottom line is it is classified as a food. But pilpilin isn't. How do I know pilpilin is not a food? At least according to Rava, because he tells me there's no bracha. He tells me if you eat an Yom Kippur, nothing happens to you. How can that be? It must be that it's not a food. If it's not a food, I'm sorry to tell you, you're arguing with a Mefurusha possibility. Says the Gemara, Loi Kasha. It's not difficult. No problem at all. Ha Beretivta, Ha Biyabeshta. One is damp and one is dry. Which one is wet and which one is dry? If it's damp and moist, then what?
It's on the tree. That's
it's considered a fruit. Once it's dried out, it no longer retains its status as a fruit. And that's what Rob is talking about. When Rob says, if you eat an Yom Kippur, pilpilin, nothing happens to you, that is?
Dried out.
Dried pilpilin. When Rob says, you do not have to make a bracha, he's talking about dried out.
Now,
if you look, again, if you look next to the word ha beretivta, you see a small chaf next to that word ha. You see the small chaf? So you look in the margin, and we'll look this up.
Peppercorns.
What's peppercorns anyway?
I don't know. What are they? Just for decoration, right? I mean, you put it on food.
You don't use them for cooking.
Peppermint.
It's not using.
They are.
Don't they have those little round things that are called peppercorn?
Okay, can you see the chaf in the margin?
Yes.
Oh. Okay, so go to the margin. You see lamed base, tes, yud, chaf, lamed. Okay, so firstly, what tells you the Rambam?
Where are you at?
Yes, actually I have to read the Amish, but the name is very, very useful, very, very helpful. He did a tremendous, tremendous chesed to Klal Yisrael, the author of the Ein Mishpat and Neir Mitzvah. So I see the letter in the Gemara, and it says a chof. So look where the chofs. So here it is. Next to Lamed Beis, you see Tes, Yud, Chof, Lamed. So that's our reference, the chof. So this is how you read it. Firstly, he always starts, if there is a Rambam, with a Rambam. So you see the words Mem, Yud, Yud, that stands for Maimini. Who's Maimini? The Rambam. Maimini, Shom. What does Shom mean?
There.
Where's there? As in Ibid.
Same place
as the previous one. So if you want to go to the previous one, you go to the previous one, Lamed Aleph. There it says, Maimini, Perek, Ches, Milchus, Brochus, Halachavav. So here it says, Maimini, Shom, Halachazayim. So we can look this up as well. Yes, you understood how we got there? Maimini Shom Halacha Zayin. Where's Shom? I don't know where Shom is. I look at the previous one. It says Perek Ches Milchus Brachas. Okay, so I find Milchus Brachas. Perek Ches Halacha Zayin. Apilpilin Vazangvil. Bizman Shehim Rutuvin. When they are. Dam Mavare Cholem Tchila Bayre Priho Adomo.
Ooh, not even shekel, as we said before. Reb Sheshes.
Right. Avol Yaveshim Einom Tuunim Brocha, says the Rambam. They do not require Brocha. Loi Lifnehem, Veloi Achrehem, Mipnei Shehin Tavlin, because they are Tavlin, what Tavlin? Spice, Ve'einon Oichel. You have to know, we have to get used to the Rambam. Baruch Hashem, over the years, we've become very close with Rashi and Rashi's style, but perhaps not so with the Rambam style. The Rambam writes exquisitely clearly, incredibly clearly, lays it all out for us. So let's read this Rambam together because it's absolutely crucial for our entire perek. Again, Hapilpilin Vahazangvil. Pilpilin and Zangvil, Bizman Shein Rutuvin, if they are
moist.
Damp, moist, Mvorech Olean Tchila Bore Priyadoma. Aval Yaveshim, Einom Tzunim Brocha, do not require Brocha. Loi Lifneihem, Veloi Lachreihem, why not? Mipnei Shein Tavlin, Ve'einon Oichu. If there is spice, then not a food. How does the Rambam conclude? V'chein. So too, Oichlin, She'einon, Ru'uyin, La'achila. Foods that are not fitting to eat. Umashkin she'enon ru'uyin l'shtia, enon t'ulin brocha le'lifneim v'le l'afreim. I don't think you could possibly have written that any clearer than the Rambam.
Mash.
Mashkin
is a drink.
Mashkin is a drink, yeah. So if you drink some muddy water or whatever, you don't make brocha.
Then we have olive oil.
Is he saying all spices there?
No.
Because he said tavlin.
He gave two examples. Pilpilin, Vazangvil, because it's considered a tavlin. So we're going to have to work out every single spice. We'll see in a moment. Okay, so that's the Rambam.
So
now,
if it comes here, it's the
Olof.
The Rambam doesn't always. We don't always agree.
Yeah, we don't necessarily pass that. The Rambam always. If the Rambam classifies this lahalacha, but for whatever reason, there are other opinions that disagree, and the Shulchan Aruch goes with the other opinion, then the Ner Ayin Mishpat Ner Mitzvah will send us to the Rambam, and then I'll stop there. Meaning there's no Shulchan Aruch to send us to, because we don't necessarily pass by the Rambam. We don't pass like every single Rambam. But in this case, look at the Ayin Mishpat Ner Mitzvah. How does he carry on? Maimon Isham Halacha Zayin. Okay, so that we just saw. Beautiful. The Smag Shom. Who's the Smag? The Sefer Mitzvahs Gedolos. Is another issue. Okay. Now, he says, Umaimani. What's the next reference?
Samad.
What's the next reference of the Rambam? Why is there two Rambams? We've got one in Hilchos Brachos. Where's the other Rambam? Hilchos Shvisas Osor, resting on the tent. What is that?
Oh,
Yom Kippur. Of course we have two Rambams. Because the Gemara says it's right. So where is it? Is it Parak Beit Halacha Vav? So we open up a Rambam, it says as follows. Hakoseh is pilpulin v'zangvur, this is Hilchos Yom Kippur. Yovesh, v'kiyot v'bohen, pator. Aval zangvur, rotuv, chayev, black or white. Okay, so then we continue. And then he carries on, he brings again the smag, I guess that's Hilchos Yom Kippur. And then, Tor Shulchan Aruch, Oyrachayim, Simon Reish Beis, Sif Tazayin and Yuches. And Simon Tof Reish Yud Beis Sif Ches. Now again, why are there two references in the Shulchan Aruch? One of us Brachas, one of us Yom Kippur. So let's look it up and we'll see how it all follows through so beautifully. Reish Beis Tezayin. That's of us Brachas. Shulchan Aruch says, Al Pilpel V'zangvil Yaveshim. If they're dried, gives other examples, we'll get to. V'chol K'yetzabeh, and everything similar to that. She'ein Derech lo'ochlom elo al yedei ta'aroivos, where the derech is not to eat them unless they are mixed up with other things. Ein mevorech aleihem chlom. That's it. So that's in Hilchos Birkas HaPeiros. Then we turn to Tof Reish Yud Beis Tiches. That's Hilchos Yom Kippur. The Shulchan Aruch says the same as well. Kos pilpili oizangvil imhem yeveshim potur. Potur what? In Hilchos Yom Kippur. Teloi chazu la'achil, they're not fitting to eat. The imhem retuvim, chayev. And that's it.
I'm convinced.
That's it. Pretty clear, black and white. So very important. So the Ayin Mishpat Ner Mitzvah helps us. Helps us very, very much to know what is the halacha. Now again, we don't always have the opportunity to look up the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, but sometimes I don't need to, because the very fact that he's put a reference in the margin is except means there's a Shulchan Aruch about it, which means it's the halacha. So sometimes if I'm feeling a little bit lazy, I want to know who to be passing like without looking in Shulchan Aruch. So I just need to look in the margin. Is there a letter in the Ein Mishpat? Well, then it's a Shulchan Aruch. Or Rambam, might be. Have to look at what. I need to have to look in his notes. For example, look at. Go right to the top of the Ein Mishpat. Right to the top. It doesn't matter what the halakha is like. Have a look at the. If you see when it says Chofhei Aleph. Tor Shulchan Aruch Yeridea. This is not a Rechaim. Reish Tzadidala. This is Hilchos Orlo. But it doesn't say anything about a Rambam. So there. Apparently there's no Rambam about this, but we do Paskan Halacha, that's why it's the Shulchan Aruch. As opposed to look at the very next note, Maimani, that's the Rambam, Parakei of Hilchos Tumas Oich Halacha Chof Alev. There's no Shulchan Aruch. Why is there no Shulchan Aruch about it? Because about Tumas Oich, there's no Shulchan Aruch about Hilchos Tumas. Not again nowadays. Etc, etc. So sometimes there's a Maimani, sometimes there's Shulchan Aruch, and very often there's both.
Who
is the Machabas? If you look at the beginning of the Gemara, Esther is just Ayin Mishpat. the Neir Mitzvah. I tell you, it's all printed over here. This is the Vilna Shas. Hagos Shas, if someone says Shas, the Ein Mishpat was written to us by Hagon Yosef Shmuel, the Av Bezdin of Pei Pei Dalet Mem. What's Pei Pei Dalet Mem? Frankfurt, the Main. Frankfurt, Germany. When did he live? Tof Ein Dalet, Tof Pei Aleph, exactly. About 300 years ago. So, the kids, we are all indebted forevermore to the services that Rabbi Yisrael Shmuel, Av Bezdin of Frankfurt the Main, offered us, because he helps us not just know where the Rambam is and where the Shulchan Aruch is, but also the fact that there is a Rambam Bechlal. There's a Shulchan Aruch Bechlal about it. Otherwise, I'd be leafing through page after page to try and find it. You know, everyone on every page in Shas. Every page in Shas.
Wow.
So obviously, he was a Boki B'Shas.
Going to be a Google.
Yeah. It was before Google. This is one of the proofs that you can learn Torah without Google. Fine. Now, Rabbi Yosef, you were Madaic before correctly. But if the Gemara says if you eat it on Yom Kippur, you're potter always means potter aval osam. Otherwise, it would have said mutter. Meaning, it does not say you're allowed to eat pilpul on Yom Kippur. Clearly, it's osam midrabanan. But you're not chayav koros, it's not a food. Now, have a look. Let's continue two more lines of the Gemara. Omri le Rabbonon le Mareimar. The Rabbonon said to Mareimar, Kas Zangvila. So until now we were talking about pilpli, now we're moving on to ginger. Kas Zangvila Bayema de Kippuri Potter. Okay, what's the problem? Vaho Omar Rava, surely Rava told us, Hi. How do you read the next word? Himlasa? Hamalta? Hi Hamalta. What's Hamalta? Rashi says, Lituri Balaz. Which is Zangvila. Da Asya Mibe Hanudoi. It comes from Beha Nudoi. What's Nudoi? Rashi says, Kushim. Kushim are. Black people, right. So this food, Sharia, is mutter to eat. Umavarchin Aleha Bore Prihadoma. Now, which food are we talking about exactly? So have a look at Rashi. Hamalta Liturie. Malaz Sharia Ein Bo Loi Mishum Bishul Nochrim Veloi Mishum Gil Nochrim. There are halachas that if a goy cooks something, then you're not allowed to eat it because of a halacha called Bishul Akum. There's another halacha called Gil Akum, it's not our subject. So for whatever reason, the halachas of Bishul and Giulei Nochrim of Goyim do not apply to this Hamalta food. However, it does say in the Gemara, which bracha do you make on it? Mavarchin Oleo, Borei Pri Adama. So even though, for whatever reason, the halachas of Bishul Akum do not apply to it, but there is a bracha of Borei Pri Adama. So how can you tell me that if you eat it on Yom Kippur, you're potter because it's not considered food, but we're told clearly that what bracha do you make on it?
Okay.
There is a bracha, so clearly it's food. Yep. And what does the Gemara say? Same answer. Loikashya, habaritivta, abiyabeshta. One is damp, one is dry. Which means exactly what we said with regard to pilpilin. It's true also to Zangvila. Which means, by the way, now I'll tell you another little secret.
That's why, if you see in the margin, when you see where it says Kas Zvangvila, there's a lamed there. On the word Kas Zvangvila next to the Kas, there was a lamed. The lamed in the margin was together with the Chof. It wasn't a separate reference. Test Yud Chof Lamed. Why is it all the same reference? Because we saw before, and the Rambam puts it all together. He says, if you eat pilpilin or zangvil, if it's wet, you're in problems, and if it's dry, you're okay. Well, therefore, the Ein Mishpat didn't feel it necessary to make it a separate reference. It's all the same reference. Same halacha applies twice, both to pilpilin and also to zangvil. If you look further on, where it says, V'ha'omar rava mem hai hamlasa, that's a separate note. Mem sends me where to? Oirachayim. What's the reference there? Reish Kimmel. Sivvav. So I open Reish Kimmel Sivvav and it says Alazangvil. If it's Rotov, Borei Priha Adama. There it is.
Why are we not concerned about a goy cooking this particular?
Yeah, for reasons. The bishul akum doesn't apply to all foods. Maybe because it's a spice, it only applies to real foods, not spices. That's bishul akum concerns.
Okay.
But what we're interested in is the second part. It does, however, say you make a bracha on it, which clearly shows us that it's food. If it's food, why are you telling me that if you eat Yom Kippur, you're not chayav koris? Now have a look at Tosfos. A little bit of a tricky Tosfos, just because of the translation. Berativa. If it is damp, moist, then you do make a bracha. It's considered food. Kegoin litui belaz. That is what you asked before, Mishnah. The Gemara never told us which bracha you make on it when it's wet. The Gemara did discuss this himlasa, but it never told us about the pilpilin. What was the Gemara's kasha with regard to pilpilin? You told me on the one hand you don't make a bracha, and yet it's chayav for arla. So what was the Gemara's question? What was the Gemara's answer? One is damp, moist, and one is dry. If it's dry, it's not considered a food, and if it is moist, it is considered a food. So what bracha did you make? More never told us. With zangvil, it says v'adoma. So it's the same over here as well. Going lituri balaz mavorchin olei abori pri adoma avo yabeshto. If it is dry, loy mavorchin an oleho v'chein halacha. So Tosfos, this is the halacha, which is indeed exactly what we saw in the Rambam, and we saw it in the Shulchan Aruch as well. B'chein halacha b'zangvila shekoirin zimzibaru belaz. What's your French like, Nachum?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Not
so good.
Rabbi Yosef, you're married to a French woman?
Alaska.
Okay, zimzibaru balaz. V'chein klu shel grupli. You have grupli parties in Mishkafayim. She'ein regilim le'achol. It's not the norm to eat them. Ela v'retiva. Those you eat when they are damp. Well, then you would not eat them whilst dry. Why? Because if the norm is to eat them when they are moist, then when it's dry, it's not considered a food. Some foods you do eat when they're dry, but not these. That's why Tosfos now contrasts that, and he says, Avol, eight shell kinomoin. What's kinomoin? Either cinnamon, or he says, shakirin canila. Mavarachin Allah, boire priyo adama. That you would make a bracha boire priyo adama. Why? Mipnesha regilin laochloi beyoivish. Because there it is the norm to eat it dry. So if the norm is to eat it only when it's moist, like in the case of zangvila and pilpilin, etc., etc.,
then when it dries out, it's no longer considered a food because that's not the normal way you eat it. However, if we're dealing with a food where it's perfectly normal to eat it whilst it's dry, for example, this kinomoi in the cinnamon,
when you make a bracha,
why?
Who eats it dry?
In cinnamon.
It's a powder. It's a...
like some sort of reed or shoot. Va'al tsukroi, what's tsukroi?
Sugar.
Ki ya'ari im davshi ze tsukroi. Ve'egoiz, what's egoiz? A nut, shakoirin muskada. Also, mevorchim bari priho eitz. Why? Dried out. Doesn't matter. Because it is perfectly normal to eat it when it's dry. So it seems to be that there's no cast iron rule. Do you make a bracha on dry foods? The answer is, depends what the norm is. If the norm is only to eat it in its damp and moist state, then you'd not make a bracha whilst it's dry. But if the norm is to eat in its dried state, then you would. So even within spices itself, as we've just seen, halacha differentiates. Some spices you only eat normally once they are moist. Some spices you eat when they're dry. And if that's the case, you make a bracha even when it's dry. Okay, back into the Gemara.
Here, they say it's like a reed. Is it like sugar cane? They're not talking
probably,
about probably sugar.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Maybe cinnamon also. Maybe you slice it off right. The tree and suck on so the branch like, or yep. Something like that.
Yep, it says, Kamoi Konim. Cinnamon cane. Says the Gemara. Chovit kedeira. What is chovit kedeira? Says Rashi. Chovit kedeira min meichel kofui. Now in modern Hebrew, kofui means frozen. But here it doesn't mean frozen. It means solidified. Some solid food. Kamoi. Cholov, milk, shechovtsuhu bekeva, which you have fermented in a keva. Keva is a stomach of an animal.
It's congealed.
You see in the Gemara, the Gemara talks about this is the way basically you make cheese. It ferments it. Take a keva of it, that's a big shayla, a bosom of cholov, etc., etc. Kach oisin, this is the way you make meichel kofui bekeveiro. In a pot, the kamon mefarish later will explain exactly all the ingredients: kimcha, which is flour; dubsha, which is honey; or mishcha, which is oil. Bekori lo avrushti. Ask your wife if she has any avrushti recipes. Sure, she does. Here it is. This is chovitz kedeira v'chein daisa. What's daisa?
Porridge.
Says Rashi, daisa shel chitim. Of wheat, kasushois b'machteshes, which have been crushed in a crusher. So what is the halacha with regard to those? Rav Yehuda Omer, shakoil, nia, bidvaroi. Huh? Rav Kahana Omar, based mem mem. What's based mem mem? Borei Me'ne Mezainus. And again, I'm cheating because I see next to base Mem Mem there's a Nun. So even without looking in the margin, I know this must be Halacha. If I do want to look in the margin, I look at the very bottom reference. Can you see him in Ein Mishpat? He brings the Maimini, he brings the Smag, and once again, he brings the Toshul Chanorach Reish Ches Tzif Beis the Tzif Test. Reish Ches Tzif Beis Chameshes Mini Dogmas. We're going to have to get to this. Maisa Kedeira V'Daisa. Here is where Daisa is mentioned. Boy, my name is Reish.
Okay. We're going to hold it over here. We're starting a big topic now. It's Hashem next time. Ma'is l'kedera. That will bring us all the way to the bottom. Again, we're trying, that's why I don't always point it out, we're trying pretty much to learn every Tosfos. So even if I don't warn in advance, have a look at the Tosfos, we're trying to do every Tosfos. So Ma'is Hashem, next time we'll get to the bottom of the Amud. We'll see again the bottom Tosfos, and the Tosfos over here, Ma'is Hashem. That's with the plan all being well on.